Good morning.
We're going to be in a lesson today that I've entitled, Our God Continues to Keep Us Confident. If there's anything we need in a world that's filled with trouble, it's confidence. Because that confidence, especially that of God, will get us through any situation. It doesn't matter what. Your hair fall out, your teeth fall out, your leg falls off. You can still be confident God's still on the throne. There is nothing going on in this world, nor will there ever be going on in this world that God doesn't already know about it. In fact, He would have known it before the beginning of the world. Everyone has beliefs. Many of us of different things, but what is it that you put your faith in? I mean, when you narrow everything down, put it all in one spot and say, okay, this is the culmination of my life, my world. What do you trust? Who do you trust? Is it God? Do you go to your family for the trust that you need before God? Do you trust your abilities? There are people in this world who are overrun with great abilities. I didn't happen to be one of them. But I can tell you, God's given me certain abilities. And I've been able to do through His great help. I've been able to do stuff around the world in this place and other places. Anything that you believe you can do strong enough, you can do it. There's nothing hidden that God won't allow if it's in His righteous behavior. We need to learn two principles. One is arrogance. We want to unlearn that one. The other one is confidence. I'm not confident in everything I try to do because there's things I just can't do. But I have a God who can make anything happen. What about you? I don't have to rely on what I know and what I can do and what my particular things I have to offer. Nobody can impose your beliefs on you. But you. I don't care what your neighbors say. Don't care what your mom and daddy says, if it's not right before God. The only person who can authentically impose anything on you is you. If you don't want it, you don't have to hold it. It took me a long time to understand that. There are God-given gifts for us to use for His glory. God put them there. He insisted that we use those principles. Thus, from the Scriptures, these things will be revealed. In Hebrews 11:13-16, the text says, these people were still living by faith when they died. Raise your hand if you want to be living by faith when you die. That's where I want to be. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on the earth. People who say such things show that they're looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, listen, this ought to be us. Listen. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, and He has prepared a city for them. Do you know? When you came in covenant with Jesus Christ, warts and all, God set you in His plan. He set you in His place. I would back up to say, before you were born, God set those things in you. God's on our side. He's not against us. He's for us. There are people out there who are skeptics. A skeptic is a guy who don't know what he's doing. He got all kind of words about it, but he don't have a clue what he's doing. You've met these people. Those of us who have learned to believe in things we cannot see, we have learned to believe in things we can't feel or touch. But does that mean they're not there? Our destination and eternal function lies beyond the realm of the visible, the tangible, the extremely changed from what God designed it to be in His good world. And since this world is the only world we physically know, how can we say or believe or imagine that there's another world out there somewhere beyond the horizon, not provable by any means? You know, the scientists looking there, the astrologers and all that, and we talked about in class earlier that when God had to stand time still for a day, they were able to find that. The astrologers were. But I'm going to tell you why. The only reason they were able to find that is because God left it there. It's not because we're so smart. There are a lot of theories in the world about God's creation. But unless you have Scripture to back it up, it don't mean anything. But the good part is, when you see things in the Scriptures, and they're a little confusing to you, if you work with them and read and look and listen, you'll find out that God is talking and will continue to do it. Hebrews 11, 1-14, listen to this. We ought to get this in our head, and we've read it thousands of times probably over the years. Faith is the confidence in what we hope for, assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. Now, what he's telling us, we need to be like the ancients. We need to be like the believers in the beginning. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. And by faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by his faith, Abel still speaks, even though he's dead. Is it possible for truth to be known in people from the Scriptures who are already dead that still guide you? Are there people in your life who guided you who are now dead? Is that saying that the Word still works? You're going to get your turn for somebody to ask that question of you one day. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life. He's just gone. But God took him. Who's got him? Don't worry about it. Right? So he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. That's not a great problem if we just let that soak in. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen. Now, you know about the story of Noah. What's he going to build? It's going to be built. It's not built when he first gets this information. When warned about these things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness that is in keeping with faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, though he did not know where he was going. How would you like for God to speak to you one night and say, Johnny, I need you to go? What would be your question? Where? Well, God didn't tell you where. He gave it to him. Verse 13, all these people were still living by faith when they died. Do you know the greatest blessing we could have in this room right here among people who love God right here? The greatest blessing that we could have is that we're still living by faith when we die. Do you get it all right? You get it all right, Alan? Do you ever get it right? Rare, isn't it? Most of us, because you hang out with people like me and Johnny. Don't trip yourself up. God's on your side. Keep believing that. God keeps us confident. In Hebrews chapter 10, 32 to 39, text says, remember those early days after you received the light, when you endured in a great conflict full of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourself had lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It'll be richly rewarded. When we talk about not throwing away your possessions, is he talking about, you know, losing my car, losing my house, losing my job? Or is he talking about life in God? That's where that's at. You know what? You're going to crash a car. How many of you in here has ever been in a car crash or a pretty... Dadgum. I don't want y'all driving. The text gives us great strength. Whatever these believers had in the world, and many in the church today have, need to stay the course. Don't you quit. I'm going to tell you something. I'm not trying to be a bleeding heart and not going to try to just beat this to death. I am upset. People are not living right. Just because we had the COVID, how many people in this room died with COVID? I'm talking about our people. None. And yet, half of them walked out. You tell me why and how that makes any sense. You don't walk away. Well, I still love God. I just don't want to be sick. Well, I'm going to tell you what. Sick and throwing up is one kind of sick. There's other kinds of sick. And we've got to get past all of that stuff in this country. It's going to kill us. Remember those early days after you had received the light when you endured great conflict and suffering, telling us that they remained faithful in spite of trouble. You suffered along with those in prison, joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property. They still took it. The amazing thing for us to learn is that no matter who or what comes against us, we will come back strong because of the power of God, whether we're powerful or weak. God is in control of that. The hardest part of all of this was like the ancients. They accepted it with joy. Can you accept trouble with joy if you know God's in control? This is exactly the spirit that's been empowered, and it's empowered the spread of the gospel for 2,000 years. And it changed the world every time, every generation. A wise man once said, "He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Let's ask the ancient worthies. Abel, why would you offer a better sacrifice and end up getting killed by your own brother? You want to talk about getting close to home? Enoch, why would you walk with God and then disappear? Now we know what. God took him. Abraham, why would you leave the security of Ur and trek off into the unknown? Why would you build an ark, Noah, when everyone except your family thought you're a complete idiot? That's the way they saw that. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, why would you live in tents for generations? You could have been rich. They chose not to. Abraham and Sarah, why would you dream of having a baby when one of you's 100 years old and the other one's 90? Do you see that these people went through difficult times, and yet they stayed the course? We can stay the course. This is not a hypothetical question, and there's no question to go out there when we look at things like this. Sometimes, the text says in verse 33, you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times, you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You went over there to the ones that were getting whipped and stood beside them and taking it for yourself if you needed to. That's the kind of people God's chosen. We live by a different standard. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They saw the promises. They welcomed them from a distance, and they were strangers on the earth. What he means is, all the heroes of faith lived and died without ever fully entering into the promise. They got close and partial, but the rest of the promise is yet to come. Can you live without something, knowing the rest of the promise is going to come? Can you do that? They were like sailors who saw a shoreline a great distance away and stood at the rail waving and shouting and saying, "There it is! What a beautiful land! Look at all the people! They're waving back at us, the sailors!" See the land, but their ship never reaches the shore. So they sail on, left with the memories of the harbor. This is our plight, the whole point. In our shrinking, flat, increasing, crowded world, we're all continually reminded that we're not from around here. I don't care what state or country you live in, you're not from around here. Steve Roy was one that taught us that. How y'all are? The boy couldn't even get his words right. Where he come from, they talk backwards. But they still talk, right? Life is good. In our shrinking, flat, increasingly crowded world, we are not from around here. My address is clear on my post office box. The address of this building is clear. We are not from around here. When we look to God, we have a green card. We go anywhere. Lord, wherever you go, we'll go. If you ascend into the heavens, you are there. If you plummet into the earth, you are there. Where can you go and not find God? We die with a different hope. People who say such things, verse 14, show that they're looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of a country they left, they would have had opportunity to return. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called your God. Let me tell you something. We stand in the presence of deity. What does deity mean? God. Jehovah. Do you know that Jehovah God is in this place? Do you know that you have been graced today by His glory? Well, I'm not strong enough for that. That's why somebody, whoever it was, wrote that song. I am weak, but Thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as You walk, dear Lord, walk with me. And the church said,